Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we get past the headlines. Today, we're looking at something huge, technology in schools. I mean, we all see the potential, don't we? There's this big strategic goal, get students ready, really participating in the digital world. Seems straightforward.
It does on the surface.
But then there's the reality. You know, even with all the investment, all the effort, sometimes the tech in schools just, it doesn't quite hit the mark.
Yeah, it could be clunky or maybe not really effective for what teachers need, or maybe it misses certain groups of students entirely.
Exactly. And you have to wonder why. Why does it sometimes fall short when everyone wants it to succeed?
Well, that's what's interesting.
Yeah, today we're digging into some insights from Gary Ackerman over at hackscience.education. And his big idea, it's not really about the tech itself, fundamentally. It's about a lack of shared understanding between the key people involved, the educators, the IT folks, the administrators.
It's fascinating, actually, how the source lays out these different viewpoints. You see how people looking at the exact same situation can, well, understand it completely differently.
Right. And it causes friction, not synergy.
Exactly. It's not about anyone being difficult. It's just different professional lenses.
That's such a key point. Different lenses, not bad intentions. So our mission here today is to unpack that, to pull out these core insights so you can understand the hidden dynamics really driving ed tech management. Ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's start with that strategic goal again. Enabling students to fully participate in the digital world. Now, for that to actually work, the source says IT needs three things. It has to be used appropriately.
Right.
Configured properly. Mm-hmm. And supported reasonably. Sounds simple enough.
It sounds simple, but the source stresses that if you fall down on any one of those, the use, the configuration, or the support, the whole thing can become ineffective.
Right.
It really threatens the overall efficacy.
So schools try to address this, right? They set up tech planning committees.
Yeah, they do. They bring in experts from different areas, you know, teachers, IT staff, maybe an administrator. The idea is to get everyone on the same page.
You'd think that would solve it. Get the right people in the room.
You would think.
Yeah.
But here's the paradox the source highlights. Even in schools with these committees, IT management can still be inefficient or ineffective or incomplete.
So the committee itself isn't the magic bullet.
Apparently not always. The core issue, according to Ackerman, goes deeper. It's this fundamental lack of shared understanding among the disparate professionals involved. It's like they're speaking different professional languages, even when talking about the same tech.
Okay, let's really get into that. This idea that educators, IT pros, and administrators just understand technology differently. They bring different backgrounds, different priorities to the table.
Absolutely. And it means even steps that seem, you know, totally necessary for making tech reliable and secure. Well, they're seen and understood in vastly different ways by each group.
Right, and that's where the friction comes in. Let's look at some examples from the source. Complex passwords. Seems basic. How does IT see them?
For the IT professional, it's simple. Complex passwords are just a basic, simple strategy for keeping the network secure. It's fundamental, non-negotiable for keeping things safe.
Okay, makes sense from their perspective, but then the teacher in the classroom.
Well, for the teacher, especially with younger kids, maybe students with emerging keyboarding skills, those same passwords become a real impediment to quick access.
You can picture it, right? Little kids struggling to type this complicated thing and lesson time just evaporating.
Exactly. It's not a simple security measure from their viewpoint. It's a barrier to learning. It eats into precious minutes. And it adds up.
So that's passwords. What about, say, operating system updates?
Another classic example. IT professionals see the importance of installing updates in a timely manner as an essential step of keeping systems secure, thus reliably available. It's just good practice, like digital hygiene.
Keeps things running smoothly, securely from their perspective.
Yes. But then you have the teacher whose lesson gets delayed as they wait for computers to finish installing updates.
Oh, yeah. The dreaded updating, do not turn off your computer screen right when you need it.
Right. So from the teacher's perspective, those same essential updates are seen as interfering with the reliability of the machines. The timing makes them unreliable for teaching.
It's the same action, viewed completely differently based on your role and immediate needs, though the source does mention, thankfully, that this is getting a bit better with internet-only notebooks. Updates are less disruptive there.
That's true, a small positive trend.
Okay, one more example. Tablets for students.
Right, so you might have a school administrator, maybe they love their personal tablet, uses it all the time.
Seems like a great tool.
Yeah, so they might suggest, hey, let's buy tablets for the students. Seems modern, engaging.
But then IT gets involved.
And the IT professionals often push back against his or her suggestion tablets be purchased for students, not because they hate tablets, but because of the difficulty of managing those devices in multi-user environments.
Ah, so it's the logistics. Charging them, updating them, keeping track of them, dealing with accounts when many kids use the same device.
Exactly. It's a whole different set of challenges that the administrator, using their personal device, might not even think about.
So these examples really highlight the core issue.
They do. Negotiating what counts as appropriate use, proper configuration, reasonable support, it becomes incredibly hard when everyone involved has these different perspectives, different working definitions of terms, and frankly, different interpretations of the same situation.
It's like they're all looking at the same elephant, but one feels the trunk, one feels the leg, one feels the tail.
That's a good analogy. And they all have a piece of the truth, but not the whole picture.
Okay, this is where, for me, it gets really insightful. The source introduces this concept from Riddle and Weber from way back in 1973 to add another layer. The difference between tame and wicked problems.
Yes, this distinction is incredibly powerful for understanding why the perspectives are so different. It's not just opinion, it's rooted in the nature of the work itself.
So, explain tame problems first. What falls into that category here?
According to the source, designing IT systems is generally a tame problem. Now, tame doesn't mean easy, necessarily.
Right, not simple, but solvable.
Exactly. It's a problem that can be clearly defined, it's understood, there are known procedures to solve it. IT professionals can usually describe their networks clearly. The methods for building and fixing networks are, you know, pretty well established and transferable. Crucially, IT systems can be tested and redesigned before they're deployed to users. You can work out the kinks in a controlled environment before it hits the classroom.
Okay, so that's tame. Now contrast that with teaching. The source calls that a wicked problem. What makes it wicked?
Wicked problems are fundamentally different. Teaching is not clearly understood in the same way an IT network is. Its effectiveness depends on multiple and interconnected factors, many of which are incompletely known.
Like student background, motivation, classroom dynamics, even how the students slept the night before.
All of that. And different people, parents, administrators, even other teachers, will judge the same outcomes differently. Was that lesson successful? Depends who you ask and what criteria they're using.
And the source links successful teaching to learning, which is complex itself.
Absolutely. Learning is physiological, psychological, and social. And as many educators will tell you, even the best teaching does not always influence learning in the intended manner. There's an inherent unpredictability. You can't beta test a lesson plan quite like you can software.
It's much messier, less defined.
Much messier. Wow. No single right solution.
And the third group, school leadership.
School leadership is described as also being complex, but in a different way, it's largely a political process. Its success often hinges on things like perceptions, power, and priorities, managing stakeholders, balancing competing demands. That's a different kind of challenge again.
So we have IT dealing with largely tame problems, teachers grappling with wicked problems, and administrators navigating political landscapes.
Precisely. And these fundamental differences in the nature of the problems they solve every day deeply shape their perspectives, their approaches, and their understanding of what's reasonable or important when it comes to technology management. They're not just coming from different departments. They're operating in fundamentally different problem-solving universes.
That really puts the lack of shared understanding into a much deeper context.
It does. And because of these fundamental differences in their work, the tame versus wicked nature, the day-to-day realities, these professionals often end up in silos. The source calls it the silo effect.
Makes sense. They work in different places.
Usually, yeah. Different offices, different classrooms.
Using different skills.
Applying very different kinds of knowledge specific to their fields.
Focused on different kinds of problems.
Exactly. They're literally separated by the nature of their work and often by physical space, too.
So bringing it all together, what does this mean for actually making IT work effectively in schools for achieving that original strategic goal?
Well, it means that while each group, IT, teachers, administrators, has its own valid, necessary logistic goals, you know, keeping the network up, delivering engaging lessons, managing budgets.
The critical point the source makes is that the nature of those goals and their connection to the strategic goal must be understood collectively if IT management is to be efficacious.
Right. It's not enough for IT to just focus on network uptime or teachers to focus only on their classroom needs, or admins on the budget line.
They need to see how their piece and the nature of their piece, whether it's tame or wicked, fits into the bigger picture of enabling student participation in the digital world.
That's the key takeaway. It's about fostering that shared understanding of the overall mission and, crucially, appreciating how the very different contributions and challenges of each group relate to it. Without that collective view, you get friction, inefficiency, and missed opportunities.
So just to wrap up what we've explored in this deep dive, the challenge with making edtech truly effective isn't always the tech itself, is it?
No, often it's much more human, more organizational.
It's about bridging these fundamental gaps in understanding between the IT teams, the educators in the classrooms, and the school leaders, recognizing they're coming from different places.
And importantly, that they're tackling fundamentally different kinds of problems, some tame, others wicked.
Understanding that difference seems crucial.
It really is. You know, knowledge is one thing, but it's most valuable when it's actually understood and applied. And thinking critically about why things are the way they are, especially in complex collaborations like this, is so important today with information coming at us from all directions.
It requires seeing the nuances, recognizing that not all problems are created equal.
Precisely.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener, something to maybe reflect on. How might recognizing this difference, the difference between tame and wicked problems, how might that change the way we approach any kind of collaborative project, not just in schools, but maybe in your own workplace or community, especially within complex organizations?
That's a really interesting question to ponder.
Something to think about. That's all for this deep dive.